Welcome to week 6, video 3, spending and saving.
Now, in every marriage, your dollars need to be both spent and saved.
Right.
And it's often the case that one of you is a spender and one of you is a saver, although you can have both combinations.
Right.
And marriages can be successful with all three of those different combinations. But in any case, in any combination, you need to identify that and how that dynamic plays out in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is that if you're only saving and you're saying no all the time, like, no, we can't spend money on that. No, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. It's really hard to always hear no in your marriage, right? It is, because you're always living for the future and you're not living in the present.
Right.
And if you're always saying yes, 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 let's spend, let's spend, let's spend, then while your present situation is amazing because you're doing everything and anything that you want to do, there's very little concern for the future and for what that might look like. And that can cause stress as well. Mm-hmm. So we want to dig into some of these questions. We want to uncover what's going on in your marriage, encourage you to have some conversations about these. I mean, obviously the first two questions I would describe myself as, and then question number two, I would describe my spouse as. Mm-hmm. Now, in our case, I am the spender, most definitely.
Yep.
And Tony is the saver. Unless it's a big ticket item, in which case Tony will save and then spend. I like to do a lot of the little purchases. Tony is more, let me save and buy a big purchase.
Big purchases, right.
So question number three, because of my natural tendencies, I want to be able to do this with our money. You know, how do your natural habits impact what you want to do and how you want the money to be handled in your marriage? You know, and how does that play out in your conversations, right? Because if one of you is spending and one of you is saving, or if you've got two spenders, you know, how does that impact? You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to always be able to have cash on hand? Do you always want to be able to have a credit card at your disposal? You know, if you're saving, do you always want to know exactly where, you know, what you're saving for and what's the plan and that type of thing? So it definitely matters what your natural tendencies are.
And you can have a spender. In our situation, Elisa tends to be more the spender, but she said she'll spend on the smaller items. But when it comes to a bigger purchase, there is honestly a tendency for her to be a saver in that situation. And for example, we recently set up a vacation, and this is a big vacation because we're celebrating our 20th anniversary, and we're going to get away. We're going international, and the ticket price on this is much higher than just what she normally would just go out and do. And so it was very interesting to see that and realize that and recognize that, for the sake of, if I laid it on her to make the plans, it would have never happened. Because even though she's a spender in the family, making a big purchase like that was for her not what she was accustomed to or likes to do.
Right. And so you'll see those dynamics play out, right, in your own marriage. You know, question four, our differences in regard to money have caused tensions about. You know, the way you regard money, the way you handle money, the way you spend or save money can create friction,
right,
in your marriage. And you need to identify how that has played out for the two of you. You know, like Tony said, he started to get frustrated on this trip that we were planning because he's like, just book the trip. And I'm agonizing over, wow, that's a lot of money. Like, oof, you know, I don't know about this. And he's like, just do it. Just do it. Because again, big purchase, he pulls the trigger. Right. Little purchase, I pull the trigger and, you know, flip-flop. And so, which actually leads me into question number five, what dollar amount for you constitutes a large purchase?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right, what is that threshold where your comfort level changes? You know, is it $100 for you? Is it $500? Is it $1,000? It's going to vary from couple to couple, but you need to know where that comfort zone threshold is so that you know that as you start to approach that, your own physiological response is going to change, but your spouse is also aware of that as,
right,
well. Now, question number six, how have you handled making large purchases in the past? You know, do the two of you discuss large purchases? We encourage that. Do you just decide, if I want it, I'm going to go buy it? You know, I've worked with many of my coaching clients that was, you know, before they started working on their marriage, that was their philosophy. I make the money, I want it, I go spend it. No big deal. Except that all large purchases really do impact, mm-hmm, your marriage. Question number seven, our similarities in money, in regard to money, have enabled us to. What have your similarities allowed you to do? In our case, the fact that we both have spending and saving tendencies has actually allowed us to balance.
Right. Each other out at times. So there are just definitely seasons where we realize that we're in a place where it is a time to save, and we can come together and be on a goal, on a mission to save for a specific purchase that we're looking at. And then there are times, like the example with going on our 20th anniversary, we're both okay spending that money because, again, it's something that we've looked forward to and have discussed, even if there was a little hiccup on pulling the trigger there.
So question number eight, what do you think retirement looks like for the two of you?
That's a big one.
You know, it's never too early to start having this conversation, because whether you're spending or saving now, you have an image of what retirement, what those years are going to look like. And it's good to start formulating what that plan is going to be like. Is it, you know, are we going to travel a lot? Are we going to move to where the kids are? Are we going to, you know, move somewhere else because we want to be coastal, or, you know, in warmer weather, or downsize? Or, and you start having those conversations. And the reason to do it now and not to wait until you're, you know, on the brink of retirement is the sooner you start, the sooner you can start crafting the plan to get there.
Right.
You know, it's never too early to implement a plan in your marriage.
And everybody's plan is different.
Mm-hmm.
So don't feel like just because everybody else that you know or everybody else that you talk to has one plan, you guys may have a completely different plan that is to you guys. So craft that for which really allows the two of you to shine in those years that you're going to be spending together.
And the last question ties into crafting your plan. It's what do you need to have in place to make that happen for the two of you? You know, mm-hmm. if you're looking at retirement and you're thinking, okay, we're going to need to have, you know, X number, $100,000 a year to live on. Okay, well, how do you get to that point? What do you have to have in your savings accounts and your retirement accounts? And we're not financial advisors. So we nope. recommend that you do have a financial advisor to ask these questions mm-hmm. and to help you lay out plans. You know, because having someone that knows intimately all different areas of your finances will allow you to really craft a comprehensive plan for getting where the two of you want to go. And it's amazing how when you have that plan in place, how much changes in terms of the growth and the development of the financial intimacy in your marriage. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. We look forward to seeing you in the next video.